1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That was pretty cool.
Amen. Yeah, it was.
Amen.
First thing I want to say is there's a young man from my hometown, Danny, right here in the red shirt. Hey, Dan. He's going to school up here. He's going to UTSA. He's been here a few times. And I just want to tell you, Danny, you know, we want to help you out. We hope you feel welcome here. Hope our church makes him feel welcome here. He'll be here through this year. And Lord willing, he's going to transfer to College Station for next year for the spring. But, you know, who knows? Maybe the Lord keep him here. But as long as he's here, you know, I sure would like to help him out. And if we could be a blessing to you and help you out spiritually, man, we'd love to do that. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 19. It says, "Quench not the Spirit." You know, during this mission conference, I think we hear a lot of messages and a lot of things that we need to be doing, a lot of things we need to be focused on again. But you know, something that should be on our hearts is, you know, the work of God needs us to be sensitive to God's leading, to the Holy Spirit, you know? And when I was thinking about, you know, the Spirit in us, you know, God, the Bible says that God lives in us.
Amen.
You know, what an incredible thought. I just want to read a few verses before I, you know, continue. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8. You know, we talk about this, and we talk about, and I know sometimes we get, you know, a little, we don't know how to really explain it. You know, how God came to earth and you know, lived, and he took on flesh, and he lived among us. I know we know the doctrine and we teach the doctrine, but don't you find yourself sometimes when you're trying to explain that thing of God dying for us and then living in us? As you're saying it, or at least me, as I'm trying to teach, I'm thinking, this is really crazy stuff, you know? I mean, God came down. I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting excited even teaching him. And I'm thinking, man, this is cool. This is really neat. But at the same time, it's just incredible. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, if you don't have the Spirit, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if God is not in you, then you're not of God. I mean, what an incredible statement. I mean, and sometimes a person listening to that can take that as being very offensive. Because you're basically telling them, man, you're not in my family. You know, sometimes we get charismatic religious people that talk to us downtown, and they say, "Oh, brother, we have the same God." I'm thinking, "No, I'm sorry, you don't. You and I don't have the same God." You know, I mean, it's just very simple. If you're not trusting in Christ, if He's not your Savior, if He's not the only one that you trust in, then you're none of His. It says over in 1 Corinthians, we want to go over a few pages, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price.
Amen.
Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, God, when He saved you, when He came and came in you by the Holy Spirit, He took possession of us. We are His to do of His pleasure. Look what it says over there in Galatians. Go over a few more pages. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 6. It says, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father."
Thank you, Lord.
God has sent His Spirit in our heart.
Amen.
It says over there in Philippians, go over a few more pages, Philippians chapter 2, in verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." You know, when God saved you, He came into you. He dwells in you.
Amen.
He lives in you.
Amen.
You know, the verse that we read over there in 1 Thessalonians, it says, "Quench not the Spirit." You know who is the only one that can quench the Spirit? Is you. You and I have the power to quench the Spirit, or man, let the Spirit do what God wants to do with us. We have that power. What are we going to do with that power? God gives us a direction here that we shouldn't be quenching the Spirit. You know, and the minute you got saved, when you and I got saved, God came in you. All of God. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm getting a little bit of God every single day. Well, no. You know, when I think about Peter over there in chapter 2, whenever they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and then everyone starts talking in languages that they didn't even know because the Spirit gave them utterance and they just started speaking and everybody understood in their own language. And then they said, "Man, these guys are drunk." And then he said, no, wait a minute, we're not drunk." And then he started telling them, he started preaching the gospel, he started giving them the Word of God. And then the Bible says that these men were pierced. They were convicted. And then they said, "Man, what shall we do?" And then he says, "Well, repent."
Amen.
Repent and believe. And it says over there in chapter 2 that 3,000 people got saved.
Amen.
Did they have more of the Spirit than what you and I have?
All right.
I don't think they
Amen.
Do.
Amen.
Or did. I mean, you hear and we hear about, you know, a bunch of great men in Christianity in the history, and man, they had lots of success. People actually going out and listening to the Word of God. I mean, we hear about revivals that you know, bars closed down. And all these people weren't, these preachers weren't preaching another gospel. They were, I truly believe they just wanted to do God's will. They didn't want to quench the Spirit. They were doing everything they could possibly do to let God work. You know, and I think that's something that we need to think about, because God has given us His Spirit. Not in portions. We're not getting a little bit of God every single day. You know, it's like marriage. When I got married to Karen, I mean, she got me. I mean, Maybe that didn't come out right. She got all of me. I mean, granted, there's probably a little bit more now than 21 years ago. But she got all of me. Not little pieces at a time. Well, you know, when God came inside you, when God saved us, He put His Spirit inside of us. And there's some things that we do that quench the Spirit. You know, what does God mean when He says quench the Spirit? We put it out. Right? We're not allowing to burn. God wants us to be burning.
Amen.
God wants us to be hot. God wants for us to be led by that Spirit. And I mean, we've seen it. We have testimonies. You know, when I think about quenching the Spirit, and we're the only ones who can quench the Spirit in us. I mean, God said He'd never leave us. Never forsake us.
Amen.
If we're saved, we're saved.
Amen.
If we're walking wrong, if we're quenching the Spirit, God doesn't want us to continue walking that direction. He wants you to quit what you're doing wrong.
Amen.
And get back right on track. But when I think one of the things that I think we all struggle with. That quenches the Spirit is discouragement. That can hinder the work. That can hinder your lives. I think about that story over in Mark in chapter 8. And you can read it. But it's over there in verse 23 about the blind man. And I've been looking at the miracles and different things in the Bible and how the Lord worked, and it really is incredible because He healed this blind man, but the way He did it was very interesting. You know? And I relate it to, I could see how maybe it was reason to be discouraged the way it transpired. Because the Bible says over there in Mark 8 that people heard, obviously, that Jesus was there, and so they took this blind man to Jesus to get healed. Well, when he gets there to get healed, Jesus grabs him and he takes him outside the city. And then, not only does he take him out of the city, but when Jesus heals him, he doesn't quite heal him the first time. You know, he spits on him, which that's interesting, isn't it? I mean, he spit on a few people. There's like a couple of times, three times where he spits on him. And I don't understand that, because we're talking about God who, when he wanted to form the world, and he said, you know what? I have a good idea. I'm going to put a sun right there that's going to burn and it's going to keep everybody warm. He just said it and it just happened. You know, I mean, we're talking about a God who, when somebody was dead 4 days, he just said, hey, Lazarus, come out of there. And he just walked right out. I mean, we're talking about a God who, anything He wants to do, just speaking it. And it just happens. Why not this time? And I don't have the answer. It's just something that you're not going to learn anything today. It's just interesting to me that he leads them out of the city. Right? To spit on them. And then He says, open your eyes. Right? And he opens his eyes and he goes, you know, what do you see? He goes, man, I just see like men like trees and walking around. And, you know, I'm thinking, what a discouraging thing. You know, the guy's blind, right? To open his eyes thinking, okay, imagine the story. I could just imagine these guys just saying, man, just a few verses before he healed you know, a dumb blind person, and you're going to get healed the same way. And yeah, we're trying to leave out the spitting part. But you're going to get healed. And then so he takes him out. He opens his eyes and it's blurry. He's not seeing correctly. Well, you know, I see in that whole story a reason for discouragement. You know? He obviously received, you know, less than what he expected. Right? Have you ever been there? Man, what about the whole process of him spitting on him? I mean, that doesn't... And I know sometimes we spit when we're preaching. It's not intentional. But sometimes you get it. Another baptism. But I'm just thinking, the guy's blind. And when you spit, I mean, he didn't say he dribbled. It was spitting. When I spit, I make a noise. Right? And so I'm thinking, he must have heard the noise. Thinking, what is he doing? You know, and then he spit in his eyes, thinking, okay, I heard that. I know what that is. You know, and now it's in my eyes. Have you ever had an unpleasant experience? It's you open the door to discouragement. You know, it was sad. It was a good message. But a couple months ago when your third string preacher got up to preach a message here, Adam, your words, you said third string. When he got up here to preach and he, you know, it was a great message. I really enjoyed his message. But it saddened my heart and I hadn't been able to shake it off when he said that he started to count how many people that his friends, his peers around him have gone back into the world, are not serving God, are in sin, outwardly. 15. Do you remember the number? 15 people, he said. 15. Man, 15 chairs in this room should be filled tonight. Where are those people? Man, it opens the door to discouragement. You know, I thank God for people like Adam who can look back and say, man, 15 people aren't with me, but I'm still here. There's a lot of discouragement all around. What about death? You know? We buried my father-in-law this past May. Discouragement. I'm thinking, man, in my opinion, he still had more to do. But obviously, God said no. You know? But we shouldn't be discouraged about death. You know what God says? Blessed. Right? Doesn't he say that? He says over there in... He says over there in Revelation 14, he says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Amen. Why are they blessed? I mean, he goes to say in that verse because they're in rest. They're resting from their labors. You know? All the stuff that we're still here trying to, you know, tackle and all the, you know, sometimes the bad news that we hear, 15 people, you know, not walking with the Lord, all this stuff, they've rested from that. And their work has followed them. You know, when my father-in-law died, I helped carry him out. An empty shell. The minute he took his last breath, man, what a time is he having right now? For eternity. You know, I have a choice. I can sit here and say, I just can't go on. You know? I mean, I know it's harder for Karen. But I'm talking about us who've also lost people. You know? You could say, I just can't go on no more. Well, man, you don't look at it that way. Especially if they died in the Lord. Because you're going to see them again.
Amen.
Now those who aren't saved, those who aren't in the Lord, yeah, I think you need to get up off your seat and you need to tell them, hey, you need to get in. You ain't going to see those folks anymore. But discouragement all over the place. We can't sit in discouragement because we're going to quench what God wants us to do. You know, I think about another way that we quench the Spirit is, what about disobeying what God wants us to do? In Romans 8:14 it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God."
Amen.
You know, God led me, or leads me, in my Christian walk. You know, there's things that God gave us a book, right? God gave us this Bible. God doesn't tell us exactly everything we should be doing. I mean, it's not there. When Brother Lindo came back from the mission field, he didn't open the book and say, "Okay, God, thank you for telling me I should go to San Antonio and start this work." He just led. He just felt led. You know what? I'm going to start this work. I'm going to preach the gospel right here. And God started opening doors. Well, you know, we need to be led. We need to listen. We need to understand that God is talking to each and every one of us. Sometimes I think we're just a little bit too busy, we have a bunch of stuff around us that's causing us not to listen and not to be led by that Spirit. But God is leading you. You know, that song that they just sung tonight, that special music, you know, How Can I Say No? That was the song when I got saved in this church a long time ago, before all the gray hair. That was the song they sung the last Sunday. And that chorus, How Can I Say No? All I kept thinking about, man, I can't say no to salvation. It's not even talking about salvation. It's talking about going out and taking the gospel. It's talking about responsibility. But God used that to talk to me and say, get up from your seat. Do something. You know, commit. Ask for forgiveness. God leads you. You know, God has forever changed me the minute He came to live inside me. Forever changed. And it was because of obedience, of obeying. Some men, some women obeyed God, and that's how I got to hear. But you know, disobeying is something that I think that we need to understand, that God wants us to obey whatever He's telling us to do. If it's to go, we need to go. If it's to serve, we need to serve. If it's to give, we need to give. Whatever it is. Because this is what matters. I mean, nothing else. You know what? If you have good for you, you have plans. Today at lunch, I had the greatest time sitting down and talking to Matthew. You know, he doesn't say much. But man, today he really opened up. I think I have a gift for that. Just let people open up. But man, he has plans. He's talking about what he wants to do and why he wants to go to Austin. And he's excited about the work over there. And I'm sorry for telling on you. Just kind of worked in. I have a couple minutes in my message here. But, I mean, you know, he has this idea of going there to Austin and possibly winning some young people in that church. I'm thinking, wow, I mean, look at the plans. Look, I mean, he's obviously, you know, getting led by God. I mean, who puts this in his head? Well, you know what? Matthew has the same spirit as I do. You know? And I truly believe God can open doors there. God can use them there. You know, I mean, things could change. He could stay here. Maybe not. I think he's tired of Brian. Sorry. Sorry, Brian, I tell you that. But you know, we need to quit disobeying.
Amen.
What God wants us to do. We need to obey.
Amen.
Our hearts need to burn just a little bit hotter.
Amen.
haven't you obeyed God? Haven't you done something that was really crazy for God? And you just felt
Amen.
A little better?
Amen.
Man, I remember when I please don't take this the wrong way. But I remember one time I was down there in Mexico. We just got down there. Been there for about a year, maybe a little bit over a year. And this friend of mine who heard that I was down there in Mexico, I don't know where he got my address. Before I talked to my mom, I have no idea, but he sent me a check. He sent me a check, a good amount. And I'm looking at this check, I'm thinking, this is crazy, you know? How did it get here? I'm in Mexico of all places, you know? And it actually comes to my door. And so I get this check, and so Karen and I are talking about what we're going to do with this money, you know, because, you know, I mean, tacos and what can we buy? Snow cones. But you know what we decided to do? Give it away. We decided just to give it away. I remember that feeling. I was burning a little bit hotter. I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. You know, you want to do it? Yeah, let's just do it. Have you ever done something like that? Just to obey God? I mean, because seriously, that's like supernatural for you to give away stuff. You know? Because naturally we're selfish.
Yeah.
You get something and you want to keep it. Right? I mean, that's how I was. You know? I mean, that's how I am, I guess. Just selfish. You know, when we first moved down to Mexico, and Stephen and Lena were real little back then, but it used to irk me because I used to show up at the house and they used to be there, and they would eat my goodies. And I was thinking, Karen, that was my cream cheese. Why are they eating my stuff? You know? And it bugged me. And then I got used to it, and then no big deal, you know? But it's in us. We have our stuff. This is mine. Well, you know what? In God, nothing is yours. And if we still hang on to that and say, you know what? This is mine, and don't give it up to God, we are not obeying God. We're quenching that spirit. Now, I think of another thing. When we quench the Spirit of God is when we don't work with them. What a privilege it is to work and have a part in evangelism.
Amen.
To have a part in this church. You know, just to be involved in this assembly. It's a privilege. It's something that God has allowed. I mean, look, how many churches are there in San Antonio? There's a whole bunch of God put you here.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I often think about that. I mean, of all the places I could have landed, of all the places I could have gone, it just worked it out, and God saw it fit for me to, you know, meet some crazy people. And I got saved. And then I got under good teachings, you know? I got under people that really loved me and really cared for me and really wanted me to succeed because they were led by God. Some of the best decisions I've made have been because somebody has preached something, somebody has said something in this assembly, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do that. I might not understand it all, but I'm just going to do it.
Amen.
You know, because you're sitting there, you're listening, you're sitting there, and God is saying, yeah, yeah, why don't you do that? You know, don't get mad.
Amen.
Just do that.
Amen.
But you know, we have this idea that for some reason that God's here to please you.
Right.
You know, that you need to enjoy your Christianity. Man, I'm all about fun. I mean, that's just me. You know? I like having fun. I like goofing around. You know? I love hugging on Danny. You know? And mainly because he don't like hugs. Just to let you guys know, just hug on that guy. He doesn't like it, and he turns into like a crisp bacon. When you hug him, you're like, "Hey, Danny." So when he's teasing me about my weight, he's like, "Hey, you haven't been on that bike, have you?" "Oh no, I haven't, Danny. Come here." I just changed the subject real quick. I told Danny the last time I was up here, man, I said, I read in the Bible, Danny, in Proverbs 15, it says, a good report maketh fat bones. The bones fat, it says there. I said, look, I'm not fat, I just got fat bones. I love the Bible, man. I can eat my sherbet with no consequence. You know, it's all about being involved with God. Amen. And we quench the spirit when we're not. God didn't put the spirit in you to make you feel good.
All right. Amen.
He put the spirit in you to be used by you.
Amen.
Look what it says over there in Acts. Incredible. Incredible. We just read some stuff. It all becomes clear. Acts chapter 1. And he's there, and the Lord's given instruction here. It says, we start in verse 5. It says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." In verse 5, 1-5. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" I mean, that's crazy, right? You would think they would say, "Holy Ghost, what's that?" You know? But it's like it just went right, just like most of us, right over our head. Hey, what about this restoration thing? You know, because, you know, we want to be, you know, have an easier life. And then he says here, "And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know why God gave you the Holy Spirit? So you could be witnesses.
Amen.
Not so you could feel good.
Amen.
You know? God, the Holy Spirit, the Bible says it gives you confidence. It doesn't throw you on the ground and make you bark like a dog. There's a lot of crazy things that people think. Hey, the Holy Spirit, man, it just makes me laugh uncontrollably. Have you seen those folks?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you get on YouTube and you see these people thinking, what? And they go... A few months ago, a month and a half ago, a family in our church, it was bad weather. No, it wasn't bad weather. They were doing some type of event around the city, and they couldn't get to our meeting. And so they decided, well, we can't get to our meeting, so I'm gonna go take care of, I think he had to balance his tires or something. He goes, well, I can't get to the meeting, I'm just going to go and balance these tires at this guy that I know. Well, he shows up, and of course, the guy's not there, but across the street was a church. So he says, well, let's just go to this church. I mean, you know, we got here, so let's go inside. He said they were in there for 2 hours. And he said, man, they were just like rolling around. They didn't teach anything from the Bible. There was just music. It was loud. And people were just talking, you know, all kinds of stuff. And we just had to get out of there. And he said, man, one thing I learned today, I'm glad I'm right here.
Amen.
I'm glad I have sound doctrine.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And of course, you know, I think, well, you know, praise the Lord, he had to go through all that to see that. You know, because most people don't.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we travel back and forth, so we're in lots of churches, you know, and we want to get to our own church or somebody that, you know, we actually know. When I go back home, I go to Danny's church, you know, there where my mom is. And, you know, good sound doctrine. But sometimes when we're traveling and there's nowhere we know, sometimes we just go into any place where we think it's okay, and then sometimes we see some crazy stuff. So I know there's things out there that's kind of nutty. But, you know, God has given us the Spirit not to do crazy things, but to be witnesses. This is what we do. This is what God wants us to do. And you are not a friend to the people you hang out with if you don't tell them about Christ.
Amen.
What kind of friend are you if you don't tell these folks what's going to happen to them if they don't accept Christ? And I know it's hard.
Amen.
I know it takes a little bit of valor to tell somebody, especially your friends, that they're going to hell. Because more than likely, they're not going to receive it very well.
Right.
And more than likely, they're going to say, you know what? We don't want to hang out with you no more. But you know, that's a good thing sometimes. You know, it's a good thing to lose some friends.
Amen.
And at the very least, you told them and you gave them the gospel. But that's what you're here for. If you're saved, then we need not to quench the spirit, and we need to get involved.
Amen.
In preaching the gospel. Another thing I thought of is when we don't listen to God like we're supposed to be listening to Him. You know? That still small voice. You know, when we're here in the meeting and when we're hearing a message and God's speaking to us and we don't listen. Or what about when we're reading, we're supposed to be reading our Bibles. Bill just, the other day, he showed me a program where it reads you the Bible. Oh, that was pretty cool. You know, he just got me lazier. Now I just got to hit play and it reads the book to me. You know, but we need to be saturated, I think, with the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to be listening to God. We need to have some time, some quiet time. Amen. We need to come in here and prepare our hearts to listen to God. And I think when we fill our lives up with so many things and we're not listening to them, that's a way of quenching the Spirit. The last thing I thought of is when we sin.
Amen.
You know? And look, you know what? None of us in here are perfect. We're not perfect. God didn't save us and say, you know what? I'm going to save you and you're never going to fail me. You're never going to disappoint me. You're never going to do something against what I want you to do. No, God knows you're a sinner. It doesn't give you an excuse to keep sinning.
Amen.
But you need to stop it.
Amen.
Every one of us has room in our life right now, I think, to improve.
Amen.
Right? I mean, haven't you heard something this week that you said, man, I need to fix
Amen.
That problem. You know? I mean, thank God, you know, that God has rescued a lot of us in here from vices. I mean, horrible vices. Did you forget about those vices that God saved you from? I just about a month and a half ago, around there, right before Stephen came up, there's a young man who we've been praying for there in Puebla. His name is Julio. And I've been talking to him for the past year and talking to him. And this guy, he's a wannabe gangbanger, you know? He has a rough crowd that he runs around with, you know, and he's into some vices and he has some stuff. But this kid, I mean, I talk to him, and he knows it's a bad life, and he knows he has problems, and every single time I can see it. His eyes get teared up, and I can see he's right there, and then I say, Julio, do you want to get saved? No, not right now. I'm thinking, man, what is stopping you? And he was always very, very blunt with me. He says, I don't want to change. I said, you know what, Julio, I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Thanks for telling me, because I know where you're at. I'm glad you're not lying to me. You know, you don't want to change? I'm going to pray that God changes you. And when I get another opportunity, Julio, I'm going to talk to you again. Well, you know, the guy got saved.
Amen.
The guy shows up, and this is after a couple of times I went back and talked to him, and he shows up at the meeting, and he gets up in the meeting. Well, actually, he comes up to Steve first, I guess, and he tells Steve, hey, I got saved. And then he comes up to me and says, hey, I just want to tell you, last night I was reading over these verses, and I just, you know, got on my knees, and I just said, you know what, God, it's time to change. and he gets saved.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, you know, this guy got saved because it's not like, you know, Stephen and I are opening up our wallets and give, oh, you got your $20 for saying that you got saved. We give them nothing. They lose money coming to our meeting because they got to pay to get there. This kid has no car, so he loses money coming to the meeting. But he struggles. He's struggling right now with vices. We need to pray for this kid. I ask you to pray for this kid. But you know, sin, we got it. We shouldn't be living in it.
Right.
You know, the Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians 15:34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not." It says, "For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." You know what God wants us to do? He wants us to wake up.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to be sinning.
Amen.
You know what would really hurt me? If I came back next year and Matthew got off course. That would hurt me, Matthew.
Yeah.
You know, I really want our church, our youth, to be on fire.
Amen.
I don't want them to quench their own spirit because of all this junk around us.
Yeah.
And we as people who've been in the Lord a lot longer than them, we need to give them good advice.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you sit down and talk to these kids? Man, I make it a point to sit down. The smallest kid in here, I make it a point to sit down. Hey, how's it going? You know? I want to help them out. I don't want them to burn out. It's so easy just to give up. You know, I tell these guys in our churches, you know, to be a Christian, it takes a little bit of backbone.
Yeah.
To be a Christian, it takes a little bit of valor, you know, to be a Christian. It's easy to be a drunkard. Man, it's easy to live in vices. It's easy to live cussing and fornicating and, you know, live an adulterous life. That's easy stuff, man. Try living in righteousness. Try living for God. Man, that is something worth doing. But you know, how long are we going to be tired of... How long are we going to be just quenching that spirit? And just continue to silence God?
Amen. All right.
To be discouraged. You know what David did over there? It says over there in 1 Samuel chapter 30... When David was discouraged, it says that he went to the Lord. It says that he encouraged himself
Amen.
In the Lord, his God.
Amen.
You know where encouragement comes from? In the Lord.
Amen.
No one else can encourage you.
Amen.
You know, you're suffering, you have a bad experience, you know, things aren't going your way. You're having a problem right now. Maybe you don't have the greatest job. Maybe your kids are a little bit, you know, rebellious right now. I don't know what it is, and it can be discouraging. But you know what? That to be out of church or out of the will of God, or say, you know what, God, I just don't want to listen to you right now, is a bad idea.
Amen.
It's when you need to get closer to God.
Yes.
You know, are you just tired of not only discouragement but disobeying.
Amen.
You know, ignoring God.
Amen.
Not being involved in the greatest work.
Amen.
Well, you need to stop quenching the Spirit.
Amen.
We need to be attentive to what God wants to tell us.
Amen.
Amen?